RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Hanging out in the Key Studios. Halfway home on this Monday evening with you. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be part of the show. We can open up the phone lines you want. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Did you see, Day-Day, that the Atlanta Hawks have hired the first female assistant coach in franchise history, Brittany Donaldson?
Yep.
So she was a standout four-year basketball player at the University of Northern Iowa. Did you know her basketball career or anything?
No,
like that?
I didn't. No.
After graduating in 2015, she got her degree in statistics and accuracy sciences. She took a position as Sports VU data analyst with Stats LLC. She's had previous positions in the NBA. So from 2019 to 2021, she sat on the bench as an assistant for the Toronto Raptors. And her most recent gig was the assistant coach and director of coaching analytics for the Detroit Pistons for this past 2022-2023 season. And again, I don't know exactly what she's going to do, but she co-founded Strata Athletics basketball camps in the Austin area, first female coach in franchise history. Her job will be to focus on analytics. Now, do you think that, I'll ask you this, Day-Day, because you're probably more in tune with some of this. You know, Becky Hammon obviously is the name that everybody talks about, but do you see more and more women getting involved in NBA coaching in some ways? I know Becky Hammon's probably the exception to the rule, and I do think that Becky Hammon at some point is going to get an NBA gig. I think the momentum will be there that she gets an NBA gig, that she gets a head coaching job. I'm not talking about she's an assistant under Pop or something like that. No, she's going to be an NBA head coach at some point. And I think that time will be sooner rather than later. What would you think about a female NBA head coach?
I think it's going to happen at some point. And to your point, I think Becky is definitely going to probably be the first one if it happens, she may be the first one. But yeah, I definitely think it'll happen. It can happen some point. I say 5 to 10 years, we can see that happening. But definitely going to start seeing more and more assistant coaches, on the benches and everything.
Yeah, and look, she's very much involved in analytics, right? And so much of the NBA is going toward that in all sports, honestly. I mean, in all sports. You know, I always said that I would have loved to have seen Pat Summitt get an NBA job or a men's collegiate job. I would have loved to have seen, you know, arguably, I mean, is she not the greatest, you know, women's basketball coach in history? I mean, again, Gina Auriemma, what's her name? The lady at LSU that coached Baylor.
Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey. You know, you could make a case that that's, I don't know, you know, the 1, 2, 3 best female women's coaches in you know, or coaching of women's basketball in history. But I would have always liked to have seen Pat Summitt be either a Division I college men's basketball coach or just see what she could have done. Because, right, I mean, she was a phenomenal recruiter. Mm-hmm. Like, she had all, I mean, the thing about her is, I don't know if she, like, was a great X's and O coach, but I can tell you this, she was the best recruiter of all time.
Yeah.
Like Gina Auriemma and Pat Summitt, that's the two best recruiters in women's basketball history. Mm-hmm. Like, ain't nobody got a roster full of people like they do.
Right.
I mean, they got all of the greatest players in the history of women's college basketball. Short of Cheryl Miller and the McGee sisters, right? I mean, short of that group of you know, 84 UCLA in the Olympic team. But was she not the coach in 84 for the women's Olympic team? Look that up real quick. Well, maybe I should look that up because, again, your proclivities of 1984 women's Olympic basketball coach. Let me see here real quick if she was the coach on all of that. I can't remember if she was the coach for the United States team, but I don't have it here. But obviously, she's arguably one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. I would have liked to have seen her get a prominent job, even like the men's Tennessee job, right? Like, there was a lot of years where men's basketball for Tennessee was floundering around before Bruce Pearl got there and then Rick Barnes got there. I mean, but for years they were kind of floundering around, right? What's the who was the kid that played at Tennessee that went on to the NBA that played for the Allen Houston, right? Allen Houston played at Tennessee, right? And wasn't his dad the coach? Wasn't Allen Houston's dad the coach? See, I'm asking you to look these things up in short, quick spurts, and I'm 25 steps ahead of you on all of this. But there were a lot of lean years in Tennessee basketball where I would have been curious to see Pat Summitt get a chance to coach the men's game. Now, if Becky Hammon continues her success, obviously she just won the WNBA title. If she continues her success, I think she's going to be a head coach sooner than later. There was talk about Indiana was looking at her and had interviewed her. Somebody else had interviewed her as well. And it is sort of a changing of the guard. I mean, it's not just going to be men that – how do you think that guys would respond, though, to having a – how do you think NBA players would respond to having a Becky Hammon? Because, again, she's one of the more respected coaches in all of basketball, and she comes from a pedigree of being one of the more respected coaches in basketball. You think the men would buy into being coached by her?
I think that's probably if there's any type of hesitancy on teams' parts right now is how players would respond to.
Right.
Because, I mean, we just talked about our own situation with Trey and Nate. If we've got, you know, if male coaches can't even in some cases handle or get some of these guys under wraps. So, what would it be like with female coaches? It's not to say they're not deserving, but I think the NBA, before they make it happen, I think they're going to want to make sure that everything is in place for these female coaches. If they get head coaching opportunities, that they're protected, and you know, players understand that there's no gray area. You must treat these women coaches like you would treat any other coach.
Well, but yeah, I mean, I do think though that Becky Hammon is somebody who is well respected, and you know, Greg. I mean, listen. Greg Popovich has gone to bat for her many times. I mean, he's talked about the idea of she should be a coach in the NBA. She should be a head coach in the NBA right now. And I think that if you look at the players that played with Pop and in Becky Hammon, they all say the same thing. Like, she knows her stuff. She would be a head, you know, could be a really good head coach. And I do think that, but I wonder if she is the, and I hate to say it this way, if she's the exception to the rule. Like, not everybody could go into it. Let me put it like this, okay? Kim Mulkey is a great coach. Mm-hmm. She's a great coach. Just won the national title, right, with LSU after leaving Baylor. But ain't no way she could coach a men's team. Ain't no way. If you know Kim Mulkey and her personality, ain't no way that could work. Ain't no way that could work. If you know Kim Mulkey's personality trait, remember, she was the woman who said at Baylor that, hey, if your daughter doesn't want to go to Baylor, you should punch her in the face.
Right.
Right? After the whole, you know, the Baylor football scandal and what was the girl's name? Oh gosh, the girl that was sexually assaulted on campus. But again, she was like, you know, you should punch your daughter in the face if she doesn't want to go to Baylor or whatever like that. And again, she's had her own issues, you know, even coaching at Baylor, right? I mean, she would never be somebody who would probably get along with male basketball players and things like that. But I could see Pat Summitt.
Pat Summitt is someone I think that back then, especially, I think she definitely on the college level.
Yeah, I think on the college level she would have had a lot of success at the college level. Yeah. And I'm surprised, given what her status was in the community, that she never got that chance. I mean, maybe she didn't want it. I mean, I've never read quotes about what Pat Summitt wanted in basketball or whatever like that, but she obviously built, you know, one of the greatest programs in the history of women's basketball, but I would have loved to have seen her just get that chance out there. I think Becky Hammon's going to get a chance here pretty quickly, and we're starting to see more females that are becoming, if nothing else, assistant coaches in the NBA. And obviously, look, analytics and all this kind of stuff plays such a prominent role in all sports, right? I mean, analytics is something that we see it in baseball and football and basketball, like all these different things that you see nowadays. And I just think that the time is coming that we're going to see, and I don't know if the NBA, I mean, I don't think we'll ever see a coach in football be a head coach for women. I really don't. There are some assistants and things like that that are in the league, but I don't think a woman's going to ever end up being a head coach in the NFL. But I certainly think that basketball, a sport that translates very well, I would not be surprised if Becky Hammon is a head coach sooner than later. I think that she's well respected in the league, and she's got the ultimate. It would be one thing if who's a bad coach in the NBA? Give me a name currently in the NBA. Who's a nothing coach?
Well, he's turning into nothing, Doc Rivers.
Okay, so but even Doc Rivers would carry weight. Like if Doc Rivers,
so if someone said, that doesn't carry weight, well, yeah, got like, so like, many new guys now.
Who's the coach for Washington? Who's the Wizards coach? Mike D'Antoni, Mike D'Antoni. Okay, it would be one thing if Mike D'Antoni was making the reference, but it's another thing when Greg Popovich is making the reference, right?
So well, what's your guy's name? Tom Rudy.
Rudy Tomjanovich won two titles.
But who was the one? No, not Rudy. Carlissimo. The one that
PJ Carlissimo.
It would be
one thing if he was referring a Becky Hammon.
Yeah.
It's another thing when Pop refers it, right?
Yeah.
Another thing when he refers it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, real quick too. Yes. Alan's dad was
the head coach of Tennessee.
Yes, Pat Summitt, she was co-captain. She played in 76, and she was a co-captain for the Olympics women's, and then she coached it in 84.
See? I'm not so brain dead after all. A little bit, tiny bits, but not completely brain dead. All right, when we get back, it'll be time for That's Life. We'll get to our top 10, and a world record has been caught. It's all next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, after the game, Odyssey.com app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, John Chuckery Show. 9:23 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Day-Day. Alessandro Biancardi of Italy has been pursuing a catfish for more than 23 years, and he finally landed him. This may be the world record for longest catfish in history. It's 9 1/3 feet long. Now, Day-Day, look this up. Alessandro Biancardi. See if it pulls his picture up and things like that, so you can get a picture of the fish. It was caught in the River Po a few days ago, and it may be the longest catfish in history. It says it beats the world record by 4 centimeters. And it took him 23 years to catch this fish. Quote, everything started as a normal day of fishing. I went to the Great River Po. Before leaving, I checked knots, hooks, each connection because I'm extremely meticulous. I always need to be 100% sure that everything is in place if a dream fish decided to bite my lure. I was alone facing the biggest catfish I've seen in 23 years. I tried gloving its mouth 2 to 3 times, but it was still too strong. I decided to go in shallow water to land it from shore, and after a few tries, I managed to land it. Have you seen this picture of this catfish? Have you pulled it up? He's got an Instagram post of it as well. The head on this fish is literally like, if you would...
It looks disgusting.
Yeah. Isn't it, though? Like, if you see the picture of the head, you could fit your whole head inside that fish's mouth. And it's a catfish. It's over 9 feet long. Now, I don't know how much it weighs. It doesn't say here in this article. But how ridiculous is that? Like, how...
That looks disgusting.
Yeah, doesn't it, though? Like, how is the fish that big in some river in Italy? Like, it's ridiculous. But you see a picture of it?
It's, ugh.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, catfish are bottom dwellers, right? I mean, they
yeah, they eat all the... Yeah. That's why they taste... you can kind of... I don't know how to explain it, but their meat is...
Well, I'm, you know, truthfully, I'm not a catfish fan.
Me
I'm not a fan of catfish. I know people love it.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not a fan of catfish, so...
And
but
I definitely
anyway.
Wouldn't want to eat that one. That thing looks disgusting.
Yeah, it's just, it's nasty looking. And, I mean, it's just an ugly fish. I mean, but it's, again, it's in some river in Italy.
Now, you said he was chasing it for 9 years.
No, 23 years.
This particular war, just in general, he was trying
to... In general, he was trying to
break the record.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Well, no, I mean, he was trying to find this monster catfish for 23 years.
Gotcha.
He's been searching for one of these river monsters.
Okay.
Right? You ever see that show, River Monsters and all that?
No.
That guy goes around the world?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I just never
had a chance
to
watch
it.
Yeah, he goes around the world, so... anyway, kind of crazy. All right, Whitefish, Montana. A decade after Jack Links, you know what Jack Links is? Like the beef jerky and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Jack Links beef jerky?
Yep, yep.
A decade after Jack Links invented its own meat-loving holiday, National Jerky Day, they now have a meat retreat at a Montana dude ranch. The 4-day, 3-night meat-centric excursion is at the Bar W Guest Ranch in Whitefish, Montana, where guests will experience cowboy life with fly fishing, horseback riding, roping lessons, campfire songs, line dancing, and leather crafting. It says that you'll relax in a trough-turned jacuzzi known as the Marination Station, then rest on a beef stick bed and awake to a meat print robe and all the jerky imaginable. How sick of jerky would you be after 3 days or whatever? The package also includes a meat feast with a private chef, marinated flank steak bruschetta with a jerky-infused cream sauce, teriyaki beef, bison meatballs, juicy tomahawk steaks, and New York style cheesecake with a jerky and graham cracker crust that's on the menu as well. The meat retreat is a quote, an immersive 5 sense experience that will be seared into the minds of our meat loving guests for years to come. Bookings for stays in late August will open up on June 12th. So on June 12th, get your booking in for August, Day-Day. So listen, you and the family and the wife, I mean, I saw your pictures, over the weekend of the strawberry. Now you can go to the meat jerky.
Yeah, I'm good.
Now you can do the beef jerky extravaganza. And the bed looks like sticks of beef jerky.
Yeah, I'm
and the,
okay
and
with
the
that.
Pillows, and the pillows are covered like beef jerky. And then you get a robe. I'm looking at these robes. They look like raw beef jerky on the robes. Have you ever gone to Bucky's and gotten their jerky?
I haven't gotten the jerky, but definitely been to Bucky's.
Those pieces of jerky are like like pounds, right? I mean, like,
yeah,
they're monstrous.
Yeah,
I mean,
they're huge. Yeah,
yeah, they're huge on there. So anyway, you can go to Montana and get a meat retreat at the Dude Ranch in Montana. That the whole thing just kind of sounds disgusting. So, but anyway, all right. Happy birthday today to Mark Wahlberg. So I was thinking about this. While I like Mark Wahlberg, okay, I would never pay money to see him. Like, there are certain actors and actresses I would pay money to see. Like, I would pay money to see Angelina Jolie. I would pay money to see certain actors and actresses because I know I'm going to get a really good performance, right? Okay, so with that tonight, I said I would not, Mark Wahlberg would not be one of those guys that I would pay to see. So with that, tonight's top 10, actors or actresses that you would not pay money to go see in a movie theater to watch their movies. Day-Day, the floor is yours.
All right, Ben Affleck.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, and again, we say this all the time, I know I said, but Daredevil ruined it for me. Now, I will say, The Town, I did enjoy the movie The Town with him. I thought he did well in that one, but other than that, I'm just...
I don't disagree with you. Now, the funny thing is, I'll go see Matt Damon because I think he's really good. Like,
right.
Especially as Jason Bourne. Like,
sometimes they come as a package deal.
Right, right. But I mean, you know, just to see him, yeah. The only movie I really liked, well, a couple of movies that I really liked Ben Affleck in was you're talking about Boiler Room.
Yeah, that's right.
Boiler Room was fantastic.
Right. Yep.
I mean, the scene, I mean, he's only on air for about 5 minutes, but was fantastic in Boiler Room. Did not like him in Superman. he directed a movie I really like, Gone Baby Gone.
I do remember that.
That was his brother, Casey Affleck, that was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very good feel-good movie, but it was a really good movie.
Now, he's directed some very good movies.
Oh, yeah, Argo and some of those movies. Yeah, I think he won an Oscar for Argo. So, I'm with you on that.
Yeah, so Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, God.
Jimmy Fallon.
I got roped in to spending money on Dude, Where's My Car? and in all honesty, I wanted to take a machine gun and mow everybody down on that movie. Mow everybody down in that film when it was all said and done. Dude, Where's My Car? Yeah. I paid money to see that movie.
All right, Jimmy Fallon, David Schwimmer from Friends,
mm-hmm.
Amy Schumer,
wow.
Zac Efron.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Stewart, Ezra Miller, Stacey Dash, and Hayden Christensen.
Okay. So I went even higher level of Hollywood than what you did. So I do have Mark Wahlberg.
He's got some good stuff, though. He's got some good stuff. I mean, he does. I mean, he does have some movies where you're just like, yeah, but he's got some good
As a
movies.
Leading man, I just don't really like his movies. I don't particularly like his movies.
Yeah.
So I don't like. Matthew McConaughey.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I, again, Wolf of Wall Street, he's got those good appearances in movies. But as a leading man, like, I wouldn't go see
his best
movies.
Was probably Time to Kill.
Yeah. Well, again, his co-star in that movie, Sandra Bullock, is another one.
Bullock, yeah.
And I like her. I like Sandra Bullock. But, again, I wouldn't, like, I like Speed because Keanu Reeves was in it.
Right.
But when she did that second one, that was garbage. Like, the Jason Patton, like, I didn't go see that.
Yeah, she's over the top for me. I'm not really,
Joaquin Phoenix. Now, the reason I went to see Joker is because I love the character.
Yeah.
Like, I love that character.
Yeah.
But after I saw it, it just reminded me that, Phoenix is just too weird for me.
Yeah.
Like, he's just too weird.
I was going to say, I think it's because he's weird. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just too weird for me. I love looking at her, and I know she's got that Barbie movie out. And again, she did that. I didn't like her in
Birds of Prey and all that.
Yeah, like I didn't see that. I saw a little bit of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
And then when I saw she was going to do Birds of Prey, I was like, I'm good on all this. I mean, and I know, look, she played a great part in Wolf of Wall Street and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that leads me into, you know, one of the other guys, Leonardo DiCaprio.
I
like Leonardo DiCaprio, but I don't go to a movie to see him.
Really? Now, did you see Inception? So you didn't go to the movies to see Inception?
No.
Inception was great.
Now, see, I went to see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because it was a Tarantino movie.
Right.
And I like Brad Pitt.
Right.
And I will pay to see Brad Pitt and George Clooney and those guys. I will pay to see those guys. I don't care so much for Leonardo DiCaprio. Johnny Depp. The only movie that I really... The two movies I liked of him, Donnie Brasco. But again, that's a mob flick. Like,
right.
I didn't go see Johnny Depp. It was De Niro, Michael Madsen.
Right.
Like, it's a mob flick, right? And then the other one is Blow.
And
Penelope Cruz, Paul Rubens. Yeah. Like, I wanted to see that movie because I thought it was it was a good movie. But Willy Wonka and the pirate thing.
He was good in the Pirates movies. First couple especially. Then I liked him in Sleepy Hollow as well.
Anyway. Julia Roberts. I know she's like one of the all-time leading actresses, but again, that Aaron Bogdanovich movie or whatever it was. I mean, I'm not. And these last two will surprise you. Kevin Costner. And I like some Kevin Costner movies, but it's because of this. When he starts doing his movies have some good stories in it.
Right.
But like, there's a lot of those movies that he's just in that I don't care about. You know, like again, Field of Dreams is a sports movie and all that.
Right.
And that's why I went to see that. Right. But like, Waterworld or
what about The Bodyguard with Whitney?
I went and watched it because I like Whitney Houston. I want to see if she could act.
Right.
You know, I want to see if Whitney Houston could act.
Gotcha.
I mean, you know, but I did see that movie. What was that movie where he
Untouchables?
Where he was like, but The Untouchables is because of my favorite director.
Gotcha.
Like De Niro, like
Francis
De Niro. Yeah, The Untouchables is done by Brian De Palma.
I mean,
Brian De Palma is my favorite director. So. He did the Untouchables. De Niro's in it. Sean Connery's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Sean Connery and De Niro. So, but Waterworld, some of those other movies, those other goofy sports movies that he did. Yeah, I didn't even see Tin Cup. Like, I didn't even go and see Tin Cup or whatever like that. So, and then finally, The Rock, because he's in every movie.
Yeah,
he's in every movie.
Yeah, he really didn't. To me, I'm trying to think. Of all the movies all the roles, movies I've seen him in, there was never one where I was just like, he was great.
The one that I really liked was The Rundown. And that was like his first or second
That was like the first or
movie.
Second one. That's the one where
he had done the mummy thing.
Right,
The Scorpion
King.
Now, I think that was his first movie.
Right.
The Rundown was like, okay, on his own, solo.
Mm-hmm.
I like that movie.
That's where he drove that car, right? He had the fast car or something like that.
No, he was the bounty hunter, and he went after the guy from Dude, Where's My Car?
Yeah, that's right.
And they went to this foreign country, and they flew, and you know, the Christopher Walken was the bad guy and all that.
Yeah,
I like The Rundown. All the Fast and Furious and just I don't pay money to see his movies. So there you go. All right, when we come back, Bob Nightingale joined us for a few minutes. What he had to say about the Braves and Marcell Ozuna and all the like. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app. All right, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Bob Nightingale, national MLB columnist for USA Today. Bob's on Twitter at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Jeff.
You know, it certainly seems like when Brian Snicker calls a meeting in Arizona over these last couple of years, I guess that they it's like E.F. Hutton, right? When he talks, they listen.
Yeah, I mean, work last year like a charm, and it's funny, like you said, he goes, "Yeah, well, I look smart when I do it before Strider pitches." And that's what happened last year, too. Strider made his debut in Phoenix and had the team meeting and took off.
You know, Bob, you had the story about Brian Snicker benching Marcell Ozuna after, you know, looking at the home run. You know, I like the fact of not just the fact that he's holding guys accountable, but I really like the fact that this got out publicly, that this was a story that came out publicly, that they didn't try to monkey around or tinker around or say, oh, well, Ozuna pulled a hamstring or anything like this. No, like, he made Ozuna and these guys be accountable for their actions. I give Snicker a lot of credit. I mean, he's an old soul in baseball, but, you know, a lot of managers I don't think would have, you know, put it out there in public or you know, been as honest about the situation as what he was.
No, 100% with you. You know, when it happened, I said, oh, is he going to get benched? You know, kind of forgetting that he's a DH. You don't know if he's going to get benched or not.
Right.
Obviously, they didn't pinch run for him. But then when they brought in a Olsen, a pinch hit, so okay, yeah, now we're and I'm sorry, not Olsen, but Murphy. He said, okay, this was it, and nobody really asked him about it downstairs. It's like, man, this should be big, and finally, he acknowledged that. You know, simply, yeah, he feels bad about it. But I'm glad Snicker did. I'm glad he outed him because that was inexcusable. It cost him a run. It could cost him the game. He should have been at least on second base. If not third, at least second. And then remember when there was a pass ball and a ball hit the right side, so cost them a run.
You know, Bob, you know, I was talking about the schedule for the Braves, and once they get through this Mets series, things really open up. I mean, they play the Mets at home for three games. Later in the month, they'll go on the road to Philadelphia. But they've got a couple of last-place teams in the schedule, Detroit, Colorado, obviously, you know, even the Twins are kind of mediocre right now. The Reds are nothing really special. You know, it feels like if the Mets and Phillies don't start to strike now, then this thing could start to separate itself as you get into July, because again, the Braves have a lot of, and I say easy games, but they don't have some difficult series that are coming up outside of New York and Philly.
No, I agree. I really believe Atlanta's a class of National League. I'd be stunned if they don't win the East. The Phillies are going to be, kind of quickstand all year. I don't know what they're doing. The pitching's not there. You know, the Mets are.
Did we lose Bob? I think maybe we lost Bob. Bad connection, bad signal there. So. Well, anyway,
he's
listen.
Coming.
Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think they're going to win the pennant again. I don't see a team better than them.
Do you think that this is Verlander's last season? I mean, I understand the injuries early in the year, but it has been a struggle for him. I mean, is this the year we finally see Verlander hang it up?
Remember, he signed a two-year contract for $86 million. He's not going to walk away for $43 million. So I don't believe that. And remember, he's always said, Chuck, that he wants to pitch. He's 45. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm not sure it's even going to be done after these next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he had the monster season last year, right? I mean, he was the Cy Young winner last year. But is it just? Was it just the early season injuries and trying to get back into it, or have you seen something different about him? Because this has been, and I know the injuries, have factored into, the 2021 season and the pandemic year, but he's had four straight years where he's had a lower number of strikeout per nine innings. And, at some point, I mean, when you lose that ability to get guys out nowadays, again, guys are just going to sit there and tee off on you. And, I wonder about if it's just, age, health, like what is it about him?
Well, yeah, I think it's age. And remember, guys were using the sticky stuff. I mean, it was so common in baseball. And I think it was prevalent, you know, with guys in Houston, stuff like that. And you know, guys are getting away with it now that, you know, MLB is cracking down on all the pitchers. I think kind of a combination, just age and, you know, you can't get the grip on the ball like you used to. And, you know, I mean, we haven't seen too many guys, you know, pitch one in their 40s. You know, Randy Johnson, you know, he starts with his age. You know, Nolan Ryan is about the lone exception. You know, Roger Clemens there. But that's about it. No, not too many guys can do that.
You know, Bob, you're in Arizona. Are you still surprised? I mean, you and I talked about this specifically about, okay, could Arizona hang for a while? And you said that, you know, eventually their pitching might catch up to them just trying to overtake the Dodgers over 162 games. Are you still surprised that they're hanging tough with the Dodgers? I mean, 35-25 at this point of the season, pretty good home record. They're above 500 on the road. They are a plus, you know, run differential team. You surprised that they're still hanging in there?
Oh, yeah. I think they're going to hang in there. I don't think they're I don't think they're going to go all in to trade the line or anything like that. I still think they're a year away. We saw that in the Atlanta series where they lost 2-3. You know, the bullpen coughed it up. You know, they got two, you know, magnificent starters, particularly with Zach Gallen. You know, you still got, you know, Merrill Kelly too. But, you know, I'm not sure that the staying power. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think the National League was going to be this down, Chuck. I mean, I never thought the Mets, the Phillies, and particularly the Padres would be this bad.
And again, we've seen teams like Pittsburgh be four games above 500. The Marlins are four games above 500. I mean, it does seem like the National League is upside down from what it's supposed to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the money. I mean, they you know, the Mets with the taxes, you know, about $500 million. The Padres are about, you know, over $250 million. So, yeah, it's embarrassing. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, Chuck, I think it'll go down as the most underachieving team in baseball history.
So do you think that Mets, Phillies, Padres, if they continue to underachieve, that they will look to move some of those assets? Or do you think that they ride it, you know, this entire year and stay the course? I know how much money they've forked out, but, you know, at some point, if you're not getting any kind of return on investment – do you try to offload some of those contracts?
No, I think they stay the course, you know, for the season. It'd be too embarrassing to give up. You know, plus, the National League is down. So, you know, there's all those, you know, three wild card spots. So you can't give up. Now, in the offseason, might be a different story. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, they got to see what they get for Juan Soto. I would dump him and see what you get back. You know, you can't do anything with Machado. He's got the you know, no trade clause. Tatis is having a good year. Bogart, you know, showing a lot of help. So, yeah, I don't see them or the Mets, you know, or the Phillies do anything during the season. But the offseason, they might have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's not working. Let's move some people.
Bob, the Texas Rangers just continue to pile up wins, and their run differential is just absurd. And you know, we talked about, you know, potential MVP candidates before. But, again, this team is just – I don't know. What do they do? I mean, they're 38-20. They're a plus 152 run differential. They're dominant at home. They're dominant on the road. Like, why is this team, like, suddenly just come up and been so good this year?
Well, because they got the biggest free agent acquisition in all baseball, Bruce Bochy. you know, it's amazing this guy was sitting out there. Nobody wanted him. And, it's pretty much the same team. Yeah, they got a couple of parts. I mean, you know, but Grom hasn't pitched. So, yeah, Bochy made a difference. And his sidekick, of course, is Mike Maddox, the pitching coach. You know, they made some nice free agent moves. You know, Nathan Eovaldi has been great. You know, of course, you know, Semien a year ago and Seager a year ago. But I think, you know, it shows what a coaching staff, what a difference can make for a team.
So – I know Ohtani is in line to just get the, you know, Megalodon type of contract long term, but as this team with the Angels just continues to flounder and just, again, I think they're what, a game above 500? And you and I specifically talked about the idea of, you know, that Mike Trout may be, you know, this generation's, you know, kind of Ted Williams. I mean, just not much, you know, playoff appearances and, you know, maybe not winning a World Series. But are they going to pay Ohtani, you know, $500 million, I mean, to be there? I know the attraction of it, but from the baseball perspective, they get nothing out of having arguably the two best players in baseball, maybe along with Aaron Judge, but maybe two of the three best players in all of baseball for it.
No, and what they are getting out of Ohtani is money. I mean, he's worth about, I was told, about $20 million a year, Chuck, with the licensing and merchandising and everything else. So, you know, and, you know, Trout's got to bring in some money, nothing like Ohtani. So, yeah, it's a shame, and I think they'll stay with it unless they just have a complete free fall and just kind of lose him as a free agent. You know, I think it's a 50-50 coin flip. Does he go to the Dodgers or goes to the San Diego Padres? I think he likes San Diego a lot. I mean, likes Southern California a lot. I'm not going to completely rule out San Francisco or Seattle, but he's such a homebody, I think he definitely stays out west.
Bob Nightingale is a national MLB columnist for USA Today and joined me on the WadeFort.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We will certainly chat again soon.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck, as always.
You got it. Chuckery in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
All right, let's head out to the WadeFort.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Bob Nightingale, national MLB columnist for USA Today. Bob's on Twitter, at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes here in Atlanta.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Chuck.
You know, it certainly seems like when Brian Snicker calls a meeting in Arizona over these last couple of years, I guess that they it's like E.F. Hutton, right? When he talks, they listen.
Yeah, I mean, work last year like a charm, and it's funny, like you said, he goes, "Yeah, well, I look smart when I do it before Strider pitches." And that's what happened last year, too. Strider made his debut in Phoenix and had the team meeting and took off.
You know, Bob, you had the story about Brian Snicker benching Marcell Ozuna after, you know, looking at the home run. You know, I like the fact of not just the fact that he's holding guys accountable, but I really like the fact that this got out publicly, that this was a story that came out publicly, that they didn't try to monkey around or tinker around or say, oh, well, Ozuna pulled a hamstring or anything like this. No, like, he made Ozuna and these guys be accountable for their actions. I give Snicker a lot of credit. I mean, he's an old soul in baseball, but, you know, a lot of managers I don't think would have, you know, put it out there in public or you know, been as honest about the situation as what he was.
No, 100% with you. You know, when it happened, I said, oh, is he going to get benched? You know, kind of forgetting he's a DH. You don't know if he's going to get benched or not.
Right.
Obviously they didn't pinch run for him. But then when they brought in a Olson, a pinch hit, so okay, yeah, now we're, and I'm sorry, not Olson, but Murphy. He said, okay, this was it. And, nobody really asked him about it downstairs. It's like, man, this should be big. And finally, he acknowledged that, simply, yeah, he feels bad about it. But I'm glad Snicker did. I'm glad he outed him. Because that was inexcusable. It cost him a run. It could cost him the game. He should have been at least on second base, if not third, at least second. And then remember when there was a pass ball and the ball hit the right side, so it cost him a run.
You know, Bob, you know, I was talking about the schedule for the Braves, and once they get through this Mets series, things really open up. I mean, they play the Mets at home for three games. Later in the month, they'll go on the road to Philadelphia. But they've got a couple of last-place teams in the schedule, Detroit, Colorado. Obviously, you know, even the Twins are kind of mediocre right now. The Reds are nothing really special. You know, it feels like if the Mets and Phillies don't start to strike now, then this thing could start to separate itself as you get into July because, again, the Braves have a lot of, and I say easy games, but they don't have some difficult series that are coming up outside of New York and Philly.
No, I agree. I think, I mean, I really believe Atlanta's a class of National League. I'd be stunned if they don't win the East. The Phillies are going to be, kind of quickstand all year. I don't know what they're doing. The pitching's not there. The Mets are.
Did we lose Bob? Well, I think maybe we lost Bob. Bad connection, bad signal there. So, anyway,
he's
listen.
Coming.
Like Bob, are you there?
Yeah. So no, I like him a lot. I think they're going to win the pennant again. I don't see a team better than them.
Do you think that this is Verlander's last season? I mean, I understand the injuries early in the year, but it has been a struggle for him. I mean, is this the year we finally see Verlander hang it up?
Well, remember, he signed a 2-year contract for $86 million. He's not going to walk away for $43 million. So, I don't believe that. And remember, he's always said, Chuck, that he wants to pitch he's 45. I don't think that's going to happen, but I'm not sure it's even going to be done after these next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and I know he had the monster season last year, right? I mean, he was the Cy Young winner last year. But is it just, was it just the early season injuries and trying to get back into it? Or have you seen something different about him? Because this has been, and I know the injuries, have factored into, the 2021 season and the pandemic year. But he's had four straight years where he's had a lower number of strikeout per nine innings. And at some point, I mean, when you lose that ability to get guys out nowadays, again, guys are just going to sit there and tee off on you. And, I wonder about if it's just, age, health, like what is it about him?
Well, yeah, I think it's age. And remember, guys were using the sticky stuff. I mean, it was so common in baseball. And I think it was prevalent, with guys in Houston, stuff like that. And, And, you know, guys are getting away with it now that, you know, MLB is cracking down on all the pitchers. I think kind of a combination, just age and, you know, you can't get the grip on the ball like you used to. And, you know, I mean, we haven't seen too many guys, you know, pitch one in their 40s. You know, Randy Johnson, you know, he starts with his age. You know, Nolan Ryan's about the lone exception. You know, Roger Clemens there. But that's about it. No, not too many guys can do that.
You know, Bob, you're in Arizona. Are you still surprised? I mean, you and I talked about this specifically about, okay, could Arizona hang for a while? And you said that, you know, eventually their pitching might catch up to them just trying to overtake the Dodgers over 162 games. Are you still surprised that they're hanging tough with the Dodgers? I mean, 35-25 at this point of the season, pretty good home record. They're above 500 on the road. They are a plus, you know, run differential team. You surprised that they're still hanging in there?
I am. You know, I think they're going to hang in there. I don't think they're I don't think they're going to go all in to trade the line or anything like that. I still think they're a year away. We saw that in the Atlanta series where they lost 2-3. You know, the bullpen coughed it up. You know, they got two magnificent starters, particularly with Zach Gallen. You know, you still got, you know, Merrill Kelly too. But, you know, I'm not sure that the staying power. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think the National League was going to be this down, Chuck. I mean, I never thought the Mets, the Phillies, and particularly the Padres would be this bad.
And again, we've seen teams like Pittsburgh be four games above 500. The Marlins are four games above 500. I mean, it does seem like the National League is upside down from what it's supposed to be right now.
Yeah, I mean, look at all the money. I mean, they you know, the Mets with the taxes is, you know, about $500 million. The Padres are about, you know, over $250 million. So, yeah, it's embarrassing. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, Chuck, I think it'll go down as the most underachieving team in baseball history.
So do you think that Mets, Phillies, Padres, if they continue to underachieve, that they will look to move some of those assets? Or do you think that they ride it, you know, this entire year and stay the course? I know how much money they've forked out, but, you know, at some point, if you're not getting any kind of return on investment – do you try to offload some of those contracts?
No, I think they stay the course, you know, for the season. It'd be too embarrassing to give up. You know, plus, the National League is down. So, you know, there's all those, you know, three wild card spots. So you can't give up. Now, in the offseason, might be a different story. I think if the Padres don't make the playoffs, they got to see what they get for Juan Soto. I would dump him and see what you get back. You know, you can't do anything with Machado. He's got the you know, no trade clause. Tatis is having a good year. Bogart, you know, showing a lot of help. So, yeah, I don't see them or the Mets, you know, or the Phillies do anything during the season. But the offseason, they might have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, it's not working. Let's move some people.
Bob, the Texas Rangers just continue to pile up wins, and their run differential is just absurd. And you know, we talked about, you know, potential MVP candidates before. But, again, this team is just – I don't know. What do they do? I mean, they're 38-20. They're a plus 152 run differential. They're dominant at home. They're dominant on the road. Like, why is this team, like, suddenly just come up and been so good this year?
Well, because they got the biggest free agent acquisition in all baseball, Bruce Bochy. you know, it's amazing this guy was sitting out there. Nobody wanted him. And, it's pretty much the same team. Yeah, they got a couple of parts. I mean, you know, but Grom hasn't pitched. So, yeah, Bochy made a difference. And his sidekick, of course, is Mike Maddux, the pitching coach. You know, they made some nice free agent moves. You know, Nathan Eovaldi has been great. You know, of course, you know, Semien a year ago and Seager a year ago. But I think, you know, it shows what a coaching staff, what a difference it can make for a team.
So I know Ohtani is in line to just get the, you know, Megalodon type of contract long term, but as this team with the Angels just continues to flounder and just, again, I think they're what, a game above 500? And you and I specifically talked about the idea of, you know, that Mike Trout may be, you know, this generation's, you know, kind of Ted Williams. I mean, just not much, you know, playoff appearances and, you know, maybe not winning a World Series, but Are they going to pay Ohtani, you know, $500 million? I mean, to be there. I know the attraction of it, but from the baseball perspective, they get nothing out of having arguably the two best players in baseball, maybe along with Aaron Judge, but maybe two of the three best players in all of baseball for it.
No, and what they are getting out of Ohtani is money. I mean, he's worth about, I was told, about $20 million a year, Chuck, with the licensing and merchandising, everything else. So, you know, and, you know, Trout's got to bring in some money, nothing like Ohtani. So, yeah, it's a shame, and I think they'll stay with it unless they just have a complete free fall and just kind of lose him as a free agent. You know, I think it's a 50-50 coin flip. Does he go to the Dodgers or goes to the San Diego Padres? I think he likes San Diego a lot. I mean, likes Southern California a lot. I'm not going to completely rule out San Francisco or Seattle, but he's such a homebody, I think he definitely stays out west.
Bob Nightingale is a national MLB columnist for USA Today and joined me on the WadeFort.com hotline. Check out his personal Twitter page, at BNightingale. Bob, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Thanks for a few minutes in Atlanta. We will certainly chat again soon.
Sure, my pleasure. Thank you, Chuck, as always.
You got it. Chuckery in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.